the qualities of a good father. Today we celebrate Father's Day. And we just recently celebrated Mother's Day. What are the qualities of a good father? Well, let me read a verse of Scripture to kind of jumpstart us this morning. Psalm 103:13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. What does it mean for a father to pity his children? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. The word is actually the opposite of apathetic and hostile. It's the opposite of those. It's the opposite of being an apathetic father. It's the opposite of being a hostile father. So what does it mean for a father to pity his children? Literally, it means that a father, a good father, is attentive and loving. It's been rightly stated that more than anything else, a man's children desire him. I think dads in America, to a great extent, have lost sight of that in this grand pursuit of the American dream. I want my children to have it better than I had it concept. And when's enough enough? When's enough stuff? In the process of trying to provide for our children better than we had it, and our parents said the same thing, I want my kids to have it better than I had it. And their parents before them said it. It's a noble thought. But there has to come a point, does there not, when in our pursuit of giving our children what we never had, we cease to give them ourselves because we don't have time to give them us. We're too busy trying to pursue stuff for them. And the truth of the matter is, it spoils them rotten. You children just won't have to get over that. Children long for their father's undivided attention. They simply want their dads to love them. They long for intimacy in their relationship with their dads. That's what they long for. Children long for that. And they crave consistency in their fathers. But how does that take shape? You know what I'm saying? That's the skeleton. But what does it look like when you put meat on the bones? So dads, how should this look as we live our lives with and before our children? Well, let's find out. Today we're going to look at four D's that will add substance to what it means to be a good father. Qualities, four good qualities. First, devotion. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 reads, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Did you hear that? A wise man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Devotion. Based upon this verse, there's one thing that is absolutely certain, and that is this. An unrighteous man's children will not be blessed after him. Or rather, because of him. They may wind up being blessed, but I'll assure you it won't have anything to do with him. An unrighteous man's children will not be blessed after or because of him. What does it mean for a father anyway to have integrity, as we read it here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7? What does it mean for a father to have integrity? It means this. to live what he believes without fear of some secret evil being discovered. That's technically what it means in this verse. It means for a father to live what he believes before his children without fear of some secret evil being discovered in his life. So what it boils down to here in this text, does it not, is this. It boils down to fathers being true in our actions to what we declare with our mouths. That's what it really means. It's the absolute opposite of saying one thing and living another. It means my words and my actions meeting perfectly. That's what it means for a father to have integrity in this verse. Our children, fathers, are blessed to be loved and reared by a father who is first and foremost devoted to God in word and in deed. You want a child to be blessed? You want a young person to be blessed indeed? Then you let them be reared by a father who is first and foremost devoted to the Lord God Almighty. That is a blessed child. Is it not true? I mean, who among us would argue that our children long for us as fathers to be devoted to them? I mean, come on. We long, do we not, for our fathers to be devoted to us, their children? Of course, those of us who are older now, my age, I can look back and I realize the importance of having a dad who was devoted to me. And is there dads any better way for us to display devotion to our children but than by them witnessing our devotion to Christ? Is there any better way to display what it means to be devoted than for them to witness our devotion to Christ? There's no better way. When we are who we actually declare ourselves to be, our children are made to feel secure. When we are who we declare ourselves to be, our children view us as men of integrity. And what's more, and don't miss this, if I, as a father, am wholly devoted to my Heavenly Father, I will be found mimicking Him before my children. And if I'm not wholly devoted to my Heavenly Father, it is an absolute certainty that I will not be found mimicking God to my children. Aren't we grateful? Are you a believer in this room? Are you a believer in Christ? Do you know Him? Do you trust Him with your eternal soul? How thankful are you that He is completely devoted to you? How thankful are you that Christ is utterly devoted to you? He will never let you go. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never disown you. How grateful are you for that? His character never wavers. His integrity is forever true. He has proved His love to me and to you, believer, has He not? Time and time and time and time and time and time again, He has proven His faithful love to us. He has proven to me
that I always have His undivided attention. He is never too busy to hear me, His child, or to spend time with me, His child. And dads, if we long for our children to be blessed after us, or rather because of us, our children must witness in us an unwavering devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. They must witness in us integrity, devotion before God and man. The qualities of a good father: devotion. Secondly, discipline. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12 teaches we fathers, "For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. Boy, don't I know that to be true. And I praise God for it. Because if he didn't correct me, guess what? I wouldn't be His child. The Lord corrects those whom He loves, just as a father the son in whom He delights. At this point, though, we need to make several observations from the text. So here we go. God corrects His children, number one. He corrects His children when it's needed. Why? Because He loves them. That's exactly what this verse teaches us. It's really very simple. I remember my dad. You've heard me say this many times, and many of you have the same testimony, I'm sure. My dad would always tell me, "Son, I didn't whip you because I hated you. I whipped you because I loved you." And I remember thinking, I actually said one time, "Well, Daddy, I wish you didn't love me so much." But I'm older now, and I'm thankful He did love me that much. When I was younger, I didn't understand that. I do now. He would also say, "Son, this is going to hurt me worse than it does you." And I'm thinking, that's impossible. But I understand now what he meant. It hurt my hide for several days. It wasn't no love tap, son. It was love raps. I was one of the first rappers. I got rapped on a lot because I needed it a lot. I understand now what he meant by that. It hurt my hide, but it hurt his heart. That's an observation. God corrects His children when they need it because He loves them. And the truth is, Christian fathers, and I'm speaking to Christian fathers now, Christian fathers are, in fact, God's children, and He has corrected us on occasion, has He not? God ever corrected you? Well, rejoice. That means that you're His child. And here's a third observation. Correcting children, therefore, is both needed by them and it is required of we fathers by God. And Christian fathers, listen, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Christian fathers, if they truly delight in their children, as God defines delighting in their children, they will correct them when necessary. And the word correct there literally is the word discipline. And it don't mean sit in time out. It doesn't mean that. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I'll never forget my daddy quoted scripture to me one time. "Son, the Bible says, beat him with a rod. He will not surely die." And the Bible says that. You know what?
People just gonna have to get over it. We live in a day people don't like to spank their children. Well, guess what? You're wrong. The Bible says do it. And God, Bible's God's word. It's disciplines. And children need the loving firmness that fathers bring to the table. It builds within them security. Security. I have declared many, many times that the worst thing, the most unloving thing a father can do to his children is to be harsh. That's a fact. To be overly harsh, to abuse, to be inconsistent is awful. It destroys children. But there's an opposite side to that coin. And that is this: the most unloving thing that a father cannot do for his children is to discipline them when they need it. There's a balance. There's a balance that must be struck according to God. But I'm afraid that we fail as fathers far more often in not disciplining than we do in over-disciplining. Let me say this again. Our children, I know because I needed it when I was young, desperately need the security that comes from a father who exercises loving firmness. They need to know where the line is, dads. And that line needs to be firmly established. You know what? It wears me out. I have actually had to leave stores before. I just couldn't take it. If you don't hush, I'm going to spank you. I done told you if you don't hush, I'm going to spank you. And I'm sitting over there, well, how many times are you going to tell them that? Tell them one time. And if they don't hush, take them to the bathroom and show them some loving firmness. I done told you not to do that. I don't do that. I done told you not to do it. It runs me crazy. Runs me up the wall. You know why? Because those are idle, empty threats. They don't accomplish anything, and they damage the child. You know why they damage the child? Because that child doesn't know where the line is. Mom and daddy, or mama or daddy, or both, they're just going to keep moving the line. It's like the boy who goes out in the play. He's all big and bad. And he done gotten a little verbal tussle with somebody at school. And they get out on the playground. He draws a line in the sand. He says, I dare you to cross that line. And that joker crosses the line. And he backs up a little bit. And he says, well, I bet you won't cross that line. And they do it the whole recess. He done drawn 75 lines in the sand. And ain't hit him yet. Where's the line? Where's the line? The line needs to be firmly established. It needs to be immovable, non-negotiable. And you know what? When that is the case, children are made to feel secure. Children really do want to know where the lines are. They want to know where the lines are. Now, don't make a line so, don't box your children in so tightly that they have no life. They can't breathe. But there are lines to be drawn. And when you draw the line, it needs to be the line, for crying out loud. And they need to understand, if they cross the line, there are going to be consequences. There ain't going to be no warning. You cross the line, time to pay the piper. You know what? They won't cross the line. Oh, they'll try it a time or two, but they'll figure out, oh, my goodness, I can't take the toe of my tennis shoe and scrub that line out. Daddy drew that line in concrete, and it's done set up. It ain't grown in sand. I thought it was. I tried to move. It didn't move. In addition to that, if our children don't learn obedience to righteousness, obedience to what's right at home, how are they going to be prepared for life? Because I'll assure you, when they get out into this world, they're going to be lions. And they better not cross them, or there's going to be a price to pay. And besides that, even more importantly, how is a child going to be prepared to be a pleaser of God in their life if they've never had to know how to please their fathers? If they've had no lines, or those lines have been negotiable and movable, and it's just like the shifting wind, they don't know what's expected of them. It might be different on Wednesday than it is on Friday. So they really don't have to please their dads, their moms, by being obedient. Why should they think that they are required to please God? Why should this book mean anything to them? You know what? They'll grow up thinking it's a book of suggestions. And there are a lot of people out there who think this is a book of suggestions. I got news for you. It ain't suggestions. These are directives from God. These are not opinions. These are stated facts. And God expects us to heed them. They're going to have to make their own decisions later in life, and they need to be prepared to make those decisions. And the truth is, it's our responsibility, dads, to prepare them to be able to make those right decisions. So they have to learn obedience to righteousness now. How many of you dads think you know better what your children need than they do? I want to see some hands out here. How many of you fathers, mind's up, I'm a dad. How many of you dads have made it to the place, we can snicker about this because we were there too. How many of your children think they know better than you know? You know you know better than they know what's best for them, but they think they know better than you know what's best for them. Come on, show me your hands, parents. Show me your hands, kids, young people. Not all of you in here are children. Some of you are young adults, but you still live at the house. How many of you think you know better than your mom and daddy what's best for you? Come on now. Don't be a chicken. Don't be a coward. I saw some hands. So parents, I hope I don't offend you. But let me say to your young person, if you were honest enough to raise your hand, and I really appreciate you being honest. I really do. That's more than I can get adults to do sometimes. So, my hat's off to you. But you're stupid. May I just tell it like it is? Listen, I say that with the greatest measure of love. But the fact of the matter is, you're stupid. You do not know better than your parents know what is best for you. I know that from experience. And I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, no pun intended, but you are no smarter than I am. Well, that might be debatable, but fathers, let's not be passive in our role as a corrector, as a discipliner. Our children are counting on us to be firm, not hateful, not unloving. No. Devoted fathers aren't hateful. Devoted fathers love their children and give them their undivided attention, would give their life for them. But loving fathers will draw a line in the sand and they'll say, I love you too much to let you cross it without consequences. Because I know it's going to hurt you. It's going to destroy you. And I will not stand idly by and watch that happen to you. Direction, the third D. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Listen to me. You children, and when I say children, I'm talking about Jabela's age. Don't you think they can't understand what I'm saying up here? They know. They're smart. And you young adults, you're in your 20s. You are having to make decisions on your own to a great extent. Perhaps you're out on your own. You're working a full-time job. You're making your own way. To some extent, this even applies to you. I still listen to my daddy about a lot of things. More so now than ever. And I'm 54 years old. Praise God, I still got him. Christian father, we must be faithful to offer direction to our children. Just as our Father in heaven is faithful to give us direction in His Word. Aren't we grateful He didn't just leave us out here to flounder? He gave us His eternal Word. It's ours. It's our possession. It's there for us to read and to heed. He has not left us alone. This text, the text here, Proverbs 4:1, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." This text speaks to more than having an attitude of just do what I say do. You ever said that to your children? Just do what I tell you to do. I remember my daddy telling me that. It made me mad as fire. But then again, I was stupid. Just do what I tell you to do, boy. I know we get frustrated because our kids sometimes ask too many questions. But you see, this text, speaking of offering direction to our children, it implies faithful, you hear that? Faithful, consistent instruction that is followed by an explanation as to why the instruction is being given. It means taking the time to explain to our children why we are giving them the instruction we're giving them. That takes effort. That takes time. It requires a diligence. I need to say another word to young people. Listen. You are subject to make rash decisions. Hey, get used to it. We're all subject to make rash decisions. You can't get too old to not make rash decisions. Can I get an amen out of those of you who are 40 or older? You know what happens when we make rash decisions, right? We wind up with a rash. No pun intended. In other words, it winds up causing a great deal of discomfort in our lives. I remember my dad telling me, I went through this phase when I was younger and I was out of school and I got a good job and I was making good money. I was making good money. Man, I got a new car by every 2 years. Listen to this. We were married. Man, I was like George Jefferson. I was moving on up, son. I'm talking about every year I was making the jack. More of it, more of it, more of it. I'm talking about more of it. Made more in 1982 than the church is able to pay me today. That ought to tell you something. Moving on up to the top. About every 2 years, traded that car, got a new one. And my daddy would tell me, he'd say, "Mose Jr., when I heard those words, he was getting down to serious business. He'd say, "Boy, you ain't never plowed a mule for from sun up to sundown for 25 cents a day. Money don't grow on trees, boy. Every time you trade that car and get a new one, you are flushing money down the toilet. And if you're going to live long enough, you're going to see that what I'm telling you is right. I'd love to have some of that money back. He was absolutely right. But I like the new smell. Stupid. Rash decisions. Fathers, if we want to be faithful to give our children direction, then you know what? We had better spend a lot of time in the Word of God. We might give them direction, but it won't be the right direction. If we want to give them the right direction, we need to be spending time in the Word of God. You may say, well, I got plenty of common sense. I done lived life long enough. I tell you, I done learned so much by trial and error. I got living. Look here, I done learned. Boy, I done forgot more than you'll ever know. My daddy told me that. I didn't like that. But he was right. There are some things that you cannot learn except by going through them. That's a fact. But there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Do you understand that? If we're going to give direction to our children that is faithful and right and will be without error, that knowledge that we impart to them had better be laced with wisdom. Because you want to know, you know what knowledge is? Knowledge is just generic. 2 + 2 = 4. That's knowledge. How many of you know 2 + 2 = 4? It's a fact. This is a weak example. 2 + 2 = 4? Well, what about it? What about it? Well, what if you don't know how to put that knowledge to use? Then basically, you're just a walking... You know knowledge. You know things, but you can't put it to any practical use in your life. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and use it rightly in a way that will bless your life. So dads, if we want to give right direction to our children, we better have a lot more than just know-how. We better have some wisdom about us. And the only place we're going to get wisdom is from God. He gives wisdom to those who ask and to those who apply themselves to His Word diligently. So, Dad, if there's anybody in that house studying the Word of God, it needs to be us. Lastly, this morning, diligence. Proverbs 11:27. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor. But trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Did you hear that? Let me read it again. He who earnestly seeks good will find favor. But trouble comes to him who seeks evil. Christian fathers, is it not true we only want what's best for our children? How many of you fathers will say amen to that? We only want what's best for our children. A father's selfless love for his children will demand of him nothing less than what is best. And guess what? This is where it might get a little bit hot in the kitchen. And I ain't got much time to keep the burners on because I'm trying to wrap it down now so that we can meet with the Lord at His table in communion. If I had more time to spend here, this is where you might need asbestos clothing. We want what's absolutely best for our children, fathers. And sometimes what's best for them is that we say no. N-O. How many of you dads hear from your children or have heard? Come on now, young people. You're grown. I'm looking right at you, Miranda. Because I know you can take it. I'm looking right at you, Lindsay. Looking right at you, Kyle. I got your number. Because I done been there. If there's a little phrase that every child knows, every young person, it gets worse when we become teenagers. I won't. Whew. I want this, Daddy. I want that, Mama. I want. They got it. My friends got it. Their parents getting them. Everybody's getting it. Everybody got it. Everybody doing it. I want. Run you crazy. Give you another little saying from my daddy. Mo Jr., it ain't never hurt nobody to want. Made me mad as fire. Sometimes the best thing we can do for our young person is tell them no. No to getting everything they want. No to letting them be a lazy couch potato. Let me tell you something. Our young teenagers need to get up and work. Amen. Well, it's hard to get a teenager a job now during the summertime, Brother Mo. There ain't nothing to do around the house. Go buy a 22-inch push lawnmower. But I got a riding lawnmower. They need to work. Forget the riding lawnmower. Take the key with you. Go buy a 22-inch Murray. You can get one for about $79 down there at Lowe's and let them mow that grass walking. They need to learn work ethic. Because if they don't learn it now, they're going to be in trouble when they get out here in this world. You hear me? It's part of the problem with this workforce. There's so many young people, they don't want to have a boss, they don't want nobody to tell them what to do. They get offended. A company gives them a job and paying them pretty good money, and then they got a boss, and the boss tells them to do this, and they get mad as fire. Terry, ain't you an HR director back there? Bless your heart, honey. I've been one too. Is that one of the biggest issues of our day? People don't want to be told what to do. Well, get used to it. That's life. It's got to start with us Christian fathers being a man, a godly man, and tell our children, no, you can't get everything you want. No, you can't be a lazy couch potato. No, you can't listen to certain music. I don't care what your friends are listening to. No, to letting them hang out with certain people. No, to skipping Sunday school and worship. Well, when they get old enough, I think they ought to be able to make their own decisions. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, I mean, when they get so old, you can't treat them like a child. Do they live under your roof? As long as they live under your roof, I reckon you can tell them what to do. As soon as they're ready to move out, get a job, and support themselves, if they don't want to go to the house of worship, then you can grieve and there ain't nothing you can do about it. But until then, you got the power. You hear me? Exercise your authority. No to dressing like everyone else. I don't care what everybody else is wearing. I went through this with Amber. And I'm going to make her listen to this sermon. Well, Daddy. Well, Daddy, I look ridiculous at school. And Lisa say, well, Mose, won't you just come clothes shopping with us? It ain't as easy as you might think it'll be. And I can't tell you how many times, bring something home, I'll say, absolutely not. Back to the mall, Lisa, go. Absolutely not. It's not easy to grow up as a young person this day and time in a devotedly Christian home. It's not easy. Because everything in our society opposes you, from what you wear to how you talk, to where you can go and who you can hang out with and what kind of music you can listen. It's hard. It makes you feel like you're out on an island. I understand that. But you know what, young people? And I speak to these children who are not yet at that age. It's because your parents love you. And they're trying to do right by God on your behalf. Dads, we must be diligent. We must be faithful. If there is one thing we long for our children to find favor with God. For if they find favor with God, their life will be filled with good things. But if our children flee to evil, they are going to find trouble. And it'll break their heart. And then ours will be shattered too. May God bless the preaching of His Word. With the brother.